Welcome in. It's Wash Up Walk-Ons, another episode, a big one today. Welcome in to all the new listeners that are coming around for this one. Best Iowa podcast in the world. Iowa grabs their biggest victory of the season in the biggest game of the season, the one that probably, maybe, hopefully will decide the West. We talk Sebastian Castro's All-American performance, the massive day from Torrey Taylor's leg, and a whole lot more. Let's have a day. Let's go.
It feels good.
Feels great.
Feels better than other games.
Yeah, it's one of those games where you don't care how ugly it is as long as you win. And it was ugly. It was painfully ugly, but it was a win.
It wasn't as ugly as a couple games this year. We ran the ball a little.
How about it?
Welcome into the podcast. A lot of you, I'm sure, tuning in for maybe the first time in a while. There may be some new listeners to the podcast. We always catch a few new listeners during the season who find the pod. Caught a Wisconsin listener last week on the YouTube who was looking for a little preview of the game and left a comment on the YouTube that said, "This was a complete waste of my time. I was looking for an analytical..." God, what'd he say? He's like, "I was looking for analytics and a lot more data to support a well-thought-out preview from the opposition. And this was not what I was looking for."
Oh man, that's funny.
And I responded to him with, "Hey, apologies, man. We're that's not our brand. That's not what we do. And we're just three former guys who like to, kind of run on the entertainment side of things." And he actually responded with, "Okay, I respect the shit out of that response." After a little bit more perusing around your guys' show, I understand what you guys do. So this is cool.
I was browsing through our channel the other day, and we actually get a decent amount of activity over there.
The YouTube comments are some of my favorite, more so than our Instagram stuff, more so than the stuff that we get on any tweets that we put out. The YouTube comments are really where it's at. So if you happen to be watching this on the YouTube, and we've got a little bit of we're growing. Grower, not a shower on the YouTube. Get us to 3,000 now. Get us to 3,000. Everybody who has a YouTube channel, which is basically everyone, go subscribe on the tubes, even if you'll just listen. And then if you do happen to catch the show on the YouTube while you're working away at the office or whatever, throw us a bone. A G-bone, that is. Give us a like. Give us a comment. It helps out. It really does. The more you guys comment and like the specific episodes, the more it shows up on that sidebar of suggested videos for people.
Like, comment, subscribe, and share.
Oh, sharing's the big one. Share with a Hawkeye.
Sharing is huge.
So welcome in. If you're new to the show, we are an entertainment-based podcast. The recaps are a little bit better than the previews because we've got something to talk about. There's no conjecture. There's no pontificating. It's all
good word.
Yeah, it is. This is a good word. It's about that's the extent of my language there. But we've got real 60 minutes of football to talk about. We're going to do that. But first, I'd like to sell you on the best T-shirt in the game. And it happens to have a G-bone on it.
Does it now?
If you ain't gambling, you ain't watching, motherfuckers.
It's true. It's true.
A lot of buy into the G-Bone shirt, and this rings us right into the Betfred-sponsored segment, betting recap, to start the show. For those that are wondering, if you may be new or you haven't listened to us in a while, we'll get to the recap of the game here in about 10, 15 minutes. This is where we like to bullshit a little bit. I thought I was going to overtake Grant in the rankings this weekend.
What was your reasoning for that?
I just felt confident. I really did.
Really?
Yeah, I really did. And you know what? Colorado had, it doesn't hurt as much because it wasn't even close, right? They had to cover by, I think, 11, and they lost the damn game.
Right.
But they were up 29.
Yeah. But they were up 29 points at half. I went to bet on Friday night around that halftime, and I was like, oh, this is in the bag. And yes, I woke up.
They needed you to keep watching. You bailed on your team.
Well, no.
It's on you, Clue.
You gave up at halftime.
You're right, Grant. You're right. That's on me. And then something happened to the Louisville Cardinal.
Oh, yeah. How about that game, too, huh?
And they got trounced by
the Pitt Panthers.
By Pitt.
Pat Narduzzi squad. Yeah. Got a little thing to them. Yeah, what was the spread there? Because they won by 17.
Seven and a half. Louisville fight by 7.5.
Yeesh.
So I got bent a little bit. Now, hey, now. That Iowa under, though, right?
Lock. Mortal lock.
Especially when the opposing quarterback goes out when he can't feel his hand. I can't throw.
Tough. That I can only imagine how bad that hurt. Because, you know, it was a little chilly, a little wet.
Did either of you ever do that real bad with a hand, get a hand stuck in between a block or something like that?
I broke my hand in eighth grade with something similar, yeah.
I don't know in particular. Fuck some fingers up.
Yeah, you fuck some fingers up here and there, but I broke my hand in eighth grade, but I don't think it oof.
So
just it's basically like you're punching a steel wall.
Well,
I'd imagine pretty similar, right?
Punch a lot of walls.
Except it's not with a fist. It's not with a strong closed fist.
It's an open hand. Oh, yeah. And it's coming down at high speed.
As hard as you can throw it.
Hand injury's got to be one of the most ticky-tacky worst things to get. And this is actually something that I can relate to in a different way. You guys would be
Like a position player, like you just buddy tape a finger and you suck it up and you go about it, right?
Sure.
Quarterbacks can't do that. They can't throw the ball that way.
At all. Coach Ferentz, and I don't know if he actually would have let me do it, but in the last 2 years of our career, I campaigned hard. I campaigned harder than some of these politicians to be on the goddamn kickoff unit. And Coach Ferentz, quote, Clover, get the fuck out of the drill. Okay. What the fuck are we going to do if you break your hand? All right. Goddamn KF. That was a nice way of him telling me, hey, bud, hey, you're too slow. you're not fast enough. And we don't trust you to tackle the guy.
The risk reward of you doing that drill is just off the charts. There is no
reward. He wouldn't even let me do the drill in practice.
There is very little risk that you were actually going to hurt yourself, but there was absolutely zero reward.
No reward for the
team. There's no reward. There's no upside.
What's the upside? There was no upside. What's the upside? That's what KF was thinking. No, the amount of times that a defensive lineman would step on my hand after a PAT and I'd dig my hands into the ground. So I had to go fists after a while, and I would still, I would get cleats just middle of my hand. And 300 pounds on the back of your hand is not good. It feels bad. But Mordecai went out for the game. And you can,
and at no point in the entire game was there ever any thought of this thing going over. My dad asked me what was the adjusted in-game live. I'm like 22.5, and he's like, "Oh, not even going to come close."
Jesus. To finish,
if Tanner was in the game though, do you think that even still comes close to the over? Like, how much of a difference does that really make?
They still
hard to say.
I mean, they still threw the ball 50 times. It's not like they stopped throwing the ball when the other, I mean, granted, Mordecai would have been, you would think more accurate. He's the starter for a reason.
Right.
But to finish this betting recap, Drake didn't have any bets on the weekend, but an exciting weekend upcoming in the UFC. And Grant, you had, let's see.
Yes, I went 3-0 on the weekend. Yeah. I had Houston on Thursday night, maybe
the Hail Mary to cover.
The cover of my life. Felt great. Which too was, it went from like the most devastating loss of my life because they were up 12 with 2 minutes left, and then almost lost the game on their own like 50-yard bomb, total defensive, just defensive collapse. So I was bummed, and then they had the Hail Mary. Felt a lot better. Felt like really good to see it get it done. And then Virginia Tech had a good win against Wake Forest, and then Oklahoma State. Good game against Kansas. A little stressful, though. They got up early on a good lead, lost it all, and then got it all back. So it was a little everywhere with Oklahoma State. But
was it 3-0 for the Bone Dog?
It's 3-0.
They won outright, and they were 7-point dogs, right?
Hey, if you're betting with the Bone Dog, man.
Oklahoma State was 3-point underdogs, but...
Oh, 3-point dogs, okay.
I'm telling you right now, if you're not betting with the Bone Dog, you're missing out on the cash.
Yeah.
Gonna have to rename the segment, because I'm trash, man.
It's Jeezy's with G-Bone.
Yeah, we're 14-7 on the year now, so...
God damn!
Is he really?
Holy sheesh!
Perfect time to go 3-0-2 with the shirt this weekend. So it's just good timing. It's just the stars aligned is all it was.
That is true. That is absolutely true.
If you're listening to this when it comes out or shortly after, you have just hours, maybe days, but certainly hours. They might listen on a Tuesday.
Oh, okay.
It's the store's going to close down on Wednesday, I think, in the morning sometime. Go get your, if you ain't gambling, you ain't watching shirt, G-Bone logo on the front. It supports Grant the Intern. And if we don't sell enough, you don't want to know what happens to Grant.
We're going to sell him to a Korean sweatshop where he's going to make pennies on the dollar. But that's okay, because they're going to make way worse handsomely.
Yeah, he's going to make way worse money than he makes with us. Not nearly as fun of a gig either.
No.
Hope you know how to make shoes, Grant. There are a couple bets that Kevin put out there as well. Kevin, how did we fare on the weekend?
We went 1-2. Ohio State took care of business versus Purdue. They were 19-point favorites. They win by 30-something.
Yep.
Rutgers, really disappointing week. They do come back and get the win, but they do not cover the 4.5-point spread. I thought they were – see, that's a team that's like, I think I made the right play. I think they were the better team, and they've – kind of really just fucked around there for a little bit. They got some really bad calls with the refs in that game.
Rutgers a team, this is more in general, Rutgers a team that maybe not as good as generally people might have thought in the first three or four games of the season.
Maybe possibly, just they did lose their best defender to a horseshit targeting call right before halftime. I still think they're a solid squad. It's the first loss versus the spread all year.
They're better than a traditional Rutgers team. That's
by far.
They're 5-2 already.
Well.
Yeah. And then I had Maryland covering 2 touchdowns versus Illinois. They lose outright. I didn't watch any of the game, so I can't tell you what happened.
Illinois decides to finally play a ball game, huh?
How about it?
And Maryland, a lot of people thought Maryland might have been that fourth best team in the big behind the big three in the East until this weekend, where a struggling Illini squad goes to Maryland and wins. So, you know, we'll get to this, but God, after the big three, it's like no one knows. It's just everybody's the same team and it's just a shit show. So that's our betting recap. Drake, no bets for you, but any thoughts on the Dylan Danis Logan Paul fight?
You're an idiot if you paid money for that shit.
Wait, did they actually end up fighting?
Yeah, they fought.
Oh, I thought the thing got canceled.
No.
It might be a stretch to call it. Like,
who won?
Fighting, though.
Logan won.
By disqualification.
And
some scripted bullshit that I didn't watch.
Dylan...
He tried to put Logan in a guillotine.
At the end of it, he laid down.
A boxing match?
Yeah, he laid down in the middle of it. Was fucking like it was. Those guys are really good at selling stuff. Let's just leave it at that. Drake versus Logan Paul next year, by the way. Dude, let's get you the bag, man. Let's get you a fight with Logan Paul. All right. Anything else we want to get into? I got something we want to get into real quick before we recap the game. Why don't you bring up that Gary top 25, huh? Why don't we bring in the G-Bone? You could call it the walk-on. It goes up on the walk-on's account. Top 25 of the week. This is not the AP. This is not the coaches poll. This is the legitimate. This is the one that you should really buy into. It's the G-Bone top 25 of the week. Week 8, I think this is technically we're moving into.
Michigan's the best team in the world, according to G-Bone.
Yeah, and somebody on Twitter had some gripe with that. They said Georgia's number one until they get beat.
Well, if that were true, then why are they number three?
That's like a good. I'm Georgia was point and counterpoint. Like, they're number three in the poll. It's hard to argue.
It is hard. It says it right there on the poll.
Yeah, I get the fact that Georgia is the top dog until they get beat, but they've been fucking around with some opponents they shouldn't be fucking around with at all. And Michigan is taking care of business week after week after week.
Week after week, man. Washington number two with a massive win against Oregon. That game was electric. I didn't get to see any of it, but I saw the highlights. My God, that's the game of the week.
Man, that Oregon kicker's got to be feeling down on this day.
Tough.
I mean, it wasn't a gimme by any means. It was like 40.
I was in the 40 range, yeah.
Like low 40s, I think, yeah.
But here's
the
my
Niners thing. Kicker missed one from 41 today to end their perfect season.
Dead center, too, yeah.
Yeah. As a specialist, it's sort of my rule that unless you have just crazy outlier circumstances with weather, like just like 40 mile per hour winds or something, or just in like a you're in a like the Iowa State game that got rained out for 3.5 hours like 2 years ago. If you're around 40 and in, there's no excusable misses. And in the NFL, if you're 50 and in, there's no excusable misses. Like that, those are my ranges for specialists. Like at this point, you've got kickers who are comfortable at about 60 yards. At 50. You got to make it in the pros. At 40, you got to make it in college. It's just the way it is.
Yeah, I mean, what is like your percentage at like 43 yards? A college kicker should make it as normal conditions. What, 95% of the time?
I forgot what we had a number that we.
It's got to be at least 90, right?
I think it was 9 out of 10 from within 45. Yeah, I think it was 9 out of 10, and I think. I think we were pretty damn close to that. Miguel at one point, Keith in his best year was like 93% or something like that. 94, which is a gross.
2018 probably, right?
I forgot what his big year was. Yeah. That he went on a Groza run.
No, it would have been 2019. Cause Miguel was still a kicker in 18.
Yeah, you're right. 19. So that 90% number is big, definitely over 85. Tough one for that kicker though. Washington, a team, I think it was either you or Kevin Gary that said earlier that this team was ranked like in the 8 to 10 range all year. And they were a team that most certainly deserved to probably be in the top four. And
yeah, I think Kevin has said that as well, but I definitely agree with that. I mean, I've been on Washington, I feel like all year. I mean, it would be crazy if someone like week one of this show said like to take Michael Penix Jr. at 16-1 to win the Heisman. It'd be crazy if someone said that.
It would also be crazy if someone said that they bet Washington at like 2,200 preseason odds for the national title.
Yeah, it would be crazy if that same person also had Washington 22-1. It'd be crazy.
Yeah, that's a plus. Just the same thing.
That would be wild if that happened. So it'd be crazy. That's that. Michigan, Washington, Georgia at 3, Florida State at 4, Oklahoma rounds out the top 5. Then you have Ohio State, Penn State.
Big matchup this week coming up between those two.
Is that them they play this week?
Yep.
Yeah, so I mean, the push comes to shove here in the East.
Gary, do you believe that Oklahoma is better than the winner of Ohio State, Penn State?
No, but it's just like
it's resume based, right? We've gone over this. It's Gary's just like, ranking the resumes, right?
Yeah, it's like as of today or like Sunday, October 15th, here's like who deserves to be where.
And I respect that. I like that more than, hey, these are who I think the best teams are, regardless of what they've done.
Despite Texas losing to Oklahoma, you know, like they're probably better than North Carolina. They're probably better than Florida State, but although both those teams have better resumes,
which is why, and we'll hit some of the middle teams in a second. Your very own Iowa Hawkeyes debut on the Gary Top 25 this week at number deuce 22, 6-1 record. You can't deny it, right, Gary?
Can't deny it. No, I think at this point, like I think they deserve it too. And someone was asked, there was discussion in the Discord of if Iowa managed, then this is a if Iowa managed to go at 11-1. Would they still be unranked? And I was like,
no.
Like they're going to be ranked this week. I think this is like, I think for right now, like this is a good spot. Like I like two with Iowa. I don't want us to, if we're going to climb the rankings, let's do it slowly, right? Let's climb as slow as we can until we like, obviously you want to get up higher, right? But I don't like it when like we jump to Iowa jumps too early in the rankings.
Well, and I do believe that we entered both the coaches in the AP poll.
We did.
Which are hogwash publications, but
don't matter anymore. Now here's a thought I had today. What happens if 11-1 Iowa beats 12-0 Penn State, the team that they lost to? They beat them
by 100.
So you have 12-01 Big Ten champion, whose only loss is to a team that they beat. That team only has the loss to, you know, was previously undefeated.
You have to take Iowa because they
have to put them in, right?
They would get in 100%.
Yeah, you have to take the one who won the more important game. Yeah. Now, does that look like at all a possibility right now with what happened in week four? No, it doesn't. But hey, it's still mathematically possible.
Can someone pull me up the Big Ten West odds currently? Because I know they've done flipped.
Gary, find that.
You know, you get in the game and you got a shot. You have no shot if you're not in the game, but if you're in the game, you got a shot.
Which is wild, which brings up the argument of some of these fans who are like, I don't want our team to go to the championship. We're just going to get blown out.
30. No, it's a horrible fucking take.
Okay, so you want your team to not
you want to lose more games is what you're telling me.
So you'd rather unbelievable. That like that line of thinking
doesn't. But then they get upset.
Hey, I mean, these are the brain dead people that we're trying to argue with over here.
We got some Cheetos out there. There's a couple Cheetos out there.
That is the definition of a Cheeto finger take right there.
All you're saying is you don't want to feel shame personally if Iowa loses the Big Ten championship, because what you're saying is I don't want to be in the championships because we'll lose. So I'd rather be a team that's
8-4.
I'd rather be a team that's worse than a team that has a chance to go lose that game. It doesn't even make any sense. In the middle of Gary's poll, by the way, Oregon State, Alabama at 12, Utah at 13, Duke hanging in there 14. This really is how the basketball blue bloods have risen in football. It's they've had higher rankings in Gary's poll.
I mean, Duke's good every now and then. Like, I feel like Duke's good every 4 years or so. They'll have a solid squad.
Yeah. Notre Dame plays huge. I mean, they embarrassed.
Big win over SC. I think dropping SC down to 19 is probably fair. I wouldn't be mad if you dropped them even further, honestly.
Yeah, Louisville at 20. Missouri at 21, the Hawks at 22, Air Force, the Academy, baby.
The Falcons.
23. Baby. JMU, you talked about them last week. They make it in at 24. And then Big Ten, future Big Ten team, UCLA at 25.
Yes. Yeah, I will say I watched all of JMU versus Georgia Southern in the morning slate. And
what a football fan you are.
JMU is like actually like they are very, very good.
They're legit, huh?
In the AP poll, they would be number 26 currently.
Well, I mean, hey,
first one out, huh?
We're allowed to disagree.
Love that. Cool. Did you find those odds, Gary?
So I couldn't find West odds, but to win the Big Ten, you can get anywhere from like 20-1 to 35-1, depending on where you're looking. So,
and Iowa's
Iowa has to be number four, right?
They are number four.
What are we at?
It's 25-1 or 35-1, depending on where you are.
Well, don't bet the 25-1. That just doesn't make any sense.
Go to the 35-1. Yeah. We'll get there in a second.
Near even odds.
There's a conversation.
Really?
Yes.
That is not a lot. They still have two tough games ahead of them. There's no value in that bet.
Who are you talking about?
Michigan.
Michigan is even odds. That means they're going to have to win a game versus Ohio State.
That's bad money. That's bad money.
That's bad. That's a bad bet.
Right now it is. Yeah.
What's Penn State's odds? I think Penn State.
That's why Vegas wins, because there's a bunch of fucking Michigan fans hammering that shit.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Michigan's the most likely. I think they are the best of the three, but
I can't wait to watch Michigan play Penn State. I actually think Ohio State is not a distant third, but a significant third.
You're going to get much better odds just betting Michigan straight up to beat Penn State when they play them, or betting them beat Ohio State. It's going to be almost money line, even money line anyway.
I would say so. Yeah.
What is that? What are the Penn State odds?
So Penn State is 3-1 pretty much everywhere. And then Ohio State is like +230, +240 pretty much everywhere.
Penn State's got the most value.
Yeah, it's the
Nittany. Penn State is taking care of business every week as well. Like they just smashed UMass 63-0. I mean,
dude, the line was
they are also undefeated versus the spread too.
The line was 42, and I looked at it and I'm like, I'm a dumbass. Why wouldn't I bet this? And of course they go and beat him by 63-0. And then after the game, I'm sitting there. I'm like, that's so, I mean, hindsight 2020, but was UMass ever going to do anything against them? No.
Right. So Penn State is undefeated versus spread this year. Wow. They are going to Ohio State as 4.5-point dogs.
Wow. I like it.
I would take the Nittany Lions there.
At 4.5?
Yeah.
I think they can keep it with
Ohio State is looking better. I think Travion Henderson's still out though. Give me the, well, that might be a pick next week, but then you know, I'm doing terribly, so fade me.
Yeah. That sort of concludes a longer segment of the Betfred betting recap. Shout out to Betfred. Download the Betfred Iowa app today and make those picks with Gary, not me or Kevin, and get yourself some change.
To be fair, I was going to say, you guys are, like, I think the worst record is even.
We're not doing bad. We've done worse. Yeah. Kevin and I
grew up hot and I've fallen off the table.
Sure. This is probably my best year so far.
Hoover, you're above 500. You're 11-10 right now.
Yeah, we love that. We love that. Iowa, Wisconsin. God,
let's talk about the managers first. Taking back the fullbacks game.
Talk about it, huh? Saw that tweet by Greg is pretty active on Twitter.
Iowa shoe guy.
Iowa shoe guy. He put up the toolbox. It was just sitting in a chair. Said it comes home to Iowa City early on Saturday morning, and I thought that feels good. That's a good sign right there. It's a good omen.
Because I think Wisconsin's managers had won it like 10 years in a row.
It's long time.
Our managers never won it in our time there.
Never.
But we've got like the last four of them, right?
I think we've won like four in a row now.
Well, Kevin and I were there last year for an ass whooping.
It was electric too.
And it was the most electric thing Kevin and I have ever been to. It's like, if you rank that within the games that we also played in at Iowa, it might be top five.
It was not top five, but it definitely wasn't last.
It's top 15.
Which is actually insane when you're talking about a manager's pickup game versus an actual Big Ten football game.
And the walk-ons hope to be a little bit more involved next year when it comes back to Iowa City. So stay on the lookout for that. We'll do a big old meetup next year for that one. I don't know what the score was. I know that the managers took it home, and they've got some athletes on their team right now. Some studs, some guys that me and Kevin last year were like, can we get this guy a jersey? You know,
some shoulder pads, maybe
get this guy some cleats from the back room and throw him out there on Saturday. I know that's a doubleheader in the weekend. This ain't baseball, but there it is. The old rusty toolbox returns. And you can see there on the record, they won it from 09 to 17. And I don't know what happened after that, because I think it's on the other side, but 11 and 12 there was a couple years where they put it on hold because people were losing teeth and shit.
We just probably didn't play them. I don't think.
Oh, we didn't play them in 11 and 12?
Probably not.
Oh,
I know we didn't in 2012.
You're right. It was just, we didn't play. So that started off the weekend hot. That's 1-0 Hawks right there. And for those that follow me on Twitter, I had a feeling on Friday. I got something inside of me. I don't usually make score predictions, but something inside me said, you know what? I'm feeling the black and gold. Every once in a while, you just get one that people don't think you're going to get. And I tweeted out, simple, 16-14 Iowa tomorrow. And I had 16-14 with a touchdown and three field goals. That's how I thought it was going to happen. And we weren't too far off. If Wisconsin scores a touchdown there and makes that game 15-13, I'm 2 points off that total. I don't know what inside of me thought that the Hawks could get it done, but I know watching the game yesterday.
It was probably your butt plug.
It wasn't that. That wasn't in yesterday. And I think as I watched this game yesterday, I don't usually feel or want games so bad for the team anymore, but I wanted this one yesterday bad. I was sitting there like on the edge of my seat, and the Wisconsin game was always my favorite. The bowl is my favorite trophy. This one always meant so much to me personally. Don't know why when we were on the team, but man, when it's 7-0 at half and then it stays a ball game, I was like, God, I want this for the boys so bad. And they pulled it off, man. I mean, what an unbelievable effort across the board. There's a lot of things to talk about. Is there anywhere you want to start, Kev? Any initial thought about this game?
I mean, you can start right there with effort. This was the hardest I've seen the Iowa team, all three phases, play a football game all year long.
Mm-hmm.
The most physical game that we have played. And I've been dying to see it all year right now. I forget which game it was, but there was a game earlier in the year where I just wanted to say, I'm like, these guys are not playing to the level of physicality that we usually do.
Drake said it.
I didn't say it, but
Drake said it.
Drake probably did say it. I want to say, like, what's going on? These guys are playing a little soft. They came out this game and they played hard-nosed physical football, and I loved watching every second of it.
I saw something that I think Drake has been looking for. We ran the ball well. Obviously, you have LeSean's do-it-yourself.
He did that shit himself.
He got some blocking on the front side.
He did. You're right. There was enough room for him to make moves in.
Well, it was like a third and two play, right? Like the blocking was there to get the first down.
It was there to get the first down, 100%. Yeah.
The rest of it.
75 yards were on him.
So, buddy, unbelievable play there. Players make plays. But there were some other plays in the game where we saw some really traditional Iowa hard-nosed running game. Like, put your head down. Everybody grit this out and drive some motherfuckers for 4 or 5 yards. Just get me four.
I texted y'all the first drive. I'm like, this drive's making me kind of horny. We just ran it 7 times in a row is all.
And we're getting 4, 5, 6, 8, 10. And there was a time in the middle of this game where they came off the field. It was a TV timeout or something. And they had just run it. I believe it was a third down conversion. Or a second down conversion where they ran through the defense. They were running through guys. And Mason Richmond is on, they kind of are on in the huddle. And Mason Richmond comes off the field and you can tell he's like, motherfucker, let's go. Do it again. Run it again. You can see he's like emotionally getting into it. That fire, that grit, that nastiness that Drake was asking for earlier in the season, he had it. You could see it in his demeanor. And I was like, let's go. They're starting to feel it a little bit. Now they know what it's like to run like an offensive line at the University of Iowa. This is how it's supposed to look. And I know we talked about how they shouldn't need to do it to get the confidence to believe that they can do it. But hey, maybe they unlocked a little something yesterday. Because up until this point in the game or in the season, we've been talking about how, damn, that pass pro is pretty decent. They started to figure some stuff out in the passing game, but where is that running game? 200 yards against Wisconsin, that's the most rushing yards in Madison since 1995.
It's a long time ago.
Now,
Grant, when were you born?
2002.
Jesus Christ. Guy doesn't even know about 9/11.
Doesn't even know about 9/11. Unbelievable.
Holy shit. So, I mean... Drake, any thoughts on that?
Yeah. So there were these two planes, right?
Not 9/11. Any thoughts on 9/11?
You set me up, dude. I had to take that. Are you shitting me?
That was funny. That's somebody, wrong. I hope y'all are laughing at home because you don't get that shit anywhere else.
I'm with Kevin, man. We ran the shit out of the football, and Lord knows we can't really throw it, especially when our two best pass catchers are now on IR for the season.
Honestly, that made it more impressive that we were running the ball because we weren't.
Because they knew we were going to run it.
The ball, man.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if you like. I don't know if you saw this, Drake, but
gotta find a way to convert.
They started just crashing the backside end, like not even
hard.
Not even
because they knew Diesel King.
Not giving any second thought to a bootleg whatsoever. And they knew
that Diesel King was not going to pull that boot.
Yeah.
Well, I actually was talking to my buddy Jared about that watching it. I was like, dude, just boot it.
And I was going to say, hey,
he ain't booting it.
Just wait. Diesel's going to boot it one time in the next couple weeks after they start crashing the end.
I mean, that's what Iowa's bread and butter usually was. It's like run the ball, play action bootleg.
You watch.
It slows down that backside defensive end because you've got to respect it.
And there's never been a wider midsection than the skid loader to hide that run fake behind. And he's going to roll out like CJ did against Minnesota in that walk-in touchdown in 15. And the skid loader is going to track down the sideline for a good 15, 20 yards.
Dude, if we ran outside zone into the boundary and he pulled that thing on a naked boot, it may look like he's the only player on the field.
Yeah, I mean, those Wisconsin DNs were cracked.
He's just running a 40-yard sprint down the other sideline.
Which, by the way, we're not running much outside zone. We're an inside zone and gap team.
Yeah.
They're not trying to get these boys out and running.
Which, historically, like, outside zone was 40% of our run calls.
When we played, we ran a lot of outside zone.
Bread and butter. But we've talked about that. Clompers, right?
But, yeah, I mean, running the ball effectively when you only throw it 14 times is like kind of insane.
Dude, boys, we beat Wisconsin with 39 yards passing.
37, I think.
So at this point, right, we're basically an academy team.
Mm-hmm. Worse, actually.
I say Air Force likes to throw the ball. Yeah.
That's right. Air Force is different.
Find me the passing yards.
Air's thin up there.
Yeah, find me the passing yards at Arizona or Arizona. Well, real quick, random shout out to Arizona for just demolishing Wazoo this week. I mean, what is going on?
The University of Arizona?
Arizona Wildcats.
Dude, they've got some wicked meth down there in Tucson. And I'm guessing that the players probably got into it. And now they're just on electric.
They laid waste to Washington State 44-6.
I mean, they were one play away from beating USC a week ago, too.
Arizona on the rise due to their meth. You heard it here first.
Pac-12's got some just crazy shit happening out there.
Well, college football in general is an unbelievable weekend.
Knowing that Rob Gronkowski was down in Tucson for many years, how the fuck did he make it out?
I don't know. I don't know.
Maybe he did it. Maybe he was a different person when he arrived there.
That's just, I don't know. We threw for 37 passing yards, boys. And let's talk about the worst part of this game, the worst part of this weekend. We, and again, speculation, don't want to put bad juju on people, but it looks like the speculation is that Eric All is now going to be out for the year. So we've lost our transfer quarterback, our transfer tight end, our first string tight end that we developed and brought in ourselves. I mean, boys, we are hurt. And Drake said something in the text message during the game that was like, this season has been an absolute, I don't even know what the word you used was, but insert worst case
debacle.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, all the key pieces going into the year are gone.
Gone.
The entire hype of the Iowa football season is literally on IR.
All we have left is Seth Anderson and Caleb Brown.
Rusty?
Rusty's in there.
Rusty had himself a game.
Rusty's in there now. And he's contributing big time.
I'm actually confused. Like, Rusty should have been playing more earlier in the year, right?
Correct. We figured out our offensive line. We've got Richmond and Jennings Dunker, 14 protein shakes a day at the tackles. We've got Connor Colby and Rusty Feth as our guards, and we've got Logan Jones as our center. That's our five. If they run anybody else out there, start throwing water bottles on the field because that's our five. Only took 7 games. 6-1. By the way, bowl eligible. Not that that's the goal, but bowl eligible.
22nd time in 23 years.
Hard to do.
Shout out to
looking at you, 2012.
Hey, we committed to that program.
Bubba, we had no other options.
That's why our recruiting class was the worst in KF's tenure.
Shout out to us, huh?
Shout out to him, the 2013 signing class, baby.
Hey, but guess what? When you under-promise and over-deliver, you come out smelling like roses.
You're immortalized forever, baby.
That's a good sales rep right there.
Where do we go from here? So we ran the ball well.
By the way, I pulled up the stats, by the way, passing yards for you.
Would love to see it.
I was wrong, though. Air Force actually dead last.
Wow. Is that per game?
This is just here.
The highlighted
passing stats. That's yards.
Is that total, or per game?
I thought they were passing it more this year.
I thought they were too, but I mean, I didn't make the chart.
Grant,
because if that's total,
so it goes Air Force, last, Navy.
We have seven.
Iowa.
That's got to be per game, right?
I think
obviously.
So. Yeah.
Okay, so Air Force is last in the country with 78 per game passing yards. Navy midshipmen just 0.7 yards behind 100. And then the Iowa Hawkeyes at 116.6.
And then look who's right above
us. Wow, Minnesota only at 132.
Hammer the under this week.
That makes me feel great about this week.
It's a lot of my top 25 in the bottom 10 here.
Hey, run the ball, baby.
Seriously, if we're just going to give up on the passing game, why don't we sneak in a quarterback run here or two? I mean, if there's no point in having a quarterback who just hands off the ball.
If we're going to give up on the passing game, give the skid loader a break, put him in the shed, and give me that Weechen kickoff returner in at Wildcat, because this guy has absolute afterburners on his feet.
I would love to see him get in the open field and open it up.
Oh my God, the kid can go.
Yeah.
But seriously, that's why colleges have running quarterbacks, especially in the like actual, not just for a scramble mode, is you have to account for him. That takes up another defender. It's like basically having another blocker. If you're just handing the ball off 24/7, you might as well just snap it to the running back.
Yeah, you're right.
You're playing with 10 guys.
And that's the area where.
But I know we're not trying to completely abandon the pass game. We just have really no options.
Right. So, and I in my own mind, I keep coming back to how hard it is to win at Camp Randall any year, how hard it is to beat Wisconsin any year. And the boys just did it with 37 passing yards. First time since 2008-09, I believe, that we've won back-to-back years against Wisconsin. We didn't do that. And just so impressive. Let's move to the defensive side of the ball. And is Sebastian Castro
is a bad, bad boy.
Is he a first-team All-American? Because he played like it yesterday.
Yesterday, he was a first-team All-American.
Yeah, if he's not a Big Ten Defensive Player of the Week, I mean, I guess I didn't watch every Big Ten game, but damn, that was a hell of a performance out of that kid. The amount that he has improved over the last 2 years, from a guy who just got sub package time to last year, he was the cash guy, and this year, like, he's the cash guy. He's also the starting safety over X now when we're in just our base defense. Unbelievable improvement from year to year to year, and the kid plays really hard, and he has extremely good instincts. Like, you can tell he watches his film, because he breaks on the ball and he breaks on run plays, and he comes downhill hard.
I don't know what his body weight goal is, but
he's around 200.
He's for sure overweight because of his brass fucking balls, dude. He came downhill like Miles Taylor, and he hit Braylon Allen in the mouth like he hasn't been hit before.
Who's got 30 pounds on him.
Big Ten West.
Smacked him in the mouth.
Run it back.
I don't think he got helmet on ball. To make somebody fumble just from the force of an impact where you don't get the helmet.
Oh my God. And look at Braylon.
That's a hit. This guy is feeling bad right now. He's lying on his back like a turtle that just got flipped over.
Dude, initially when he's laying there, his arm is out reaching for the ball like he's like the most sad little soul. Castro came downhill like a rocket launcher and made Braylon Allen look like an eighth grader, dude. I thought that we had the premier collision of the week, premier automotive collision of the week, when he pass broke up the one and it popped way up. And I thought, oh shit, if that's a catch, Coop's going to scoop and score. It ended up not being a complete pass. I was like, well, there's your collision of the week. But then he did that in an unbelievable moment of the game. Somehow we thought we were going to get the ball. Then he ends up getting the first down before he fumbles it. Ball don't lie, because the defense ends up getting it back anyway. But oh my God, he hit the hit stick, and it was amazing. Here's the one from earlier in the game. Would have loved if that got controlled and Coop scooped and scored it.
Yeah, but what he's doing out on the edge of our defense is just great. Like, he made several plays, beating blocks, getting TFLs on like little bubble screens and stuff like that. He's just playing
dude. Sebastian Castro is the bubble beater, dude. You can't run a bubble screen with that kid. He is going to beat the block and he's going to tackle it.
He eats it, dude. He
eats bubble screens.
Like the fundamentals on this kid are off the charts. He's like I said in the group chat, like he's playing himself into the NFL. Like coming into this year, he's not on anyone's NFL board. I'm not saying he's going to get drafted, but he will find a place to.
He's got another year.
I think he's got one more, right?
Does he? I thought he.
Yeah.
Check that, Grant. See what it says.
Nah, he's only a junior. There's no way.
But yeah, he's earned himself the right to get a shot on NFL team now.
And Kev, when you've got Cooper DeJean, who teams are already trying to avoid, and then you've got a guy like Sebastian Castro, who is arguably
says he's a senior.
Okay. So he maybe has a COVID year. Yeah. Maybe. This makes it really tough. I mean, it's why Iowa's so good. And Jay Higgins, by the way, I think we saw a stat that he now has 87 tackles, second in the country. Second
leading tackler in the country.
I mean,
it feels good.
No. The defense stepped up so damn big.
Yeah, and part of like what my sentiment was, like, this is the most physical I've seen them play, like gritty, tough, is the defensive line, the way they took on blocks this game was the best they've played all year, in my opinion. Arguably, like, the second best offensive line they played against, too, behind Penn State. And they did a much better job of controlling gaps this week than they have in weeks past. So big step forward there. That was encouraging to see as well. And then, yeah, the D-line is getting better. I think the linebackers are playing better in coverage too. I think this was a big step forward for our defense. Like we talked earlier in the year, like this year's defense is not last year's defense. Nope. It still isn't, because last year's was unreal.
Last year's, the more this season goes on, we realize how all time last year's was. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, but this was the first week where I saw substantial improvement. Like, these guys played really good football.
Yeah, yeah. It was the perfect environment where, and it's not an uncommon spot for this Phil Parker defense to find themselves. Kev, you ran out there on that defense that we're talking about. There is a feeling, and it's not one of disdain or it's not a begrudging feeling against the offense or whatever, because the offense is the lagging part of this Iowa football team. It is we put the team on our back and we go out and do it ourselves. And they relish in that. And you saw them go out there and take that identity on in this game. Like you said, Kev, more than they have all season. And they're going to have to, because Eric Hall's probably not coming back. Cade is on the sideline for the rest of the year. We know what this offense is. It's not changing. We talked about it a couple weeks ago, last week, every week. The games are all going to look like this. In fact, I don't know if they'll win a game by 9 points the rest of the year. This is basically a 3-point spread every week, and just sit there on the edge of your seat, because this is what every game is going to look like.
Pretty much, yeah. They're not going to be double-digit favorites to anyone the rest of the year. I'd imagine they'd be single possession favorites the entire rest of the year. Right?
Yeah.
Which in the eyes of Vegas is like, okay, less than a touchdown, you have a like 65% chance of winning the game just sure. By the Vegas odds. The defense is going to have to continually step up. Like, we know what the formula is this year, right? We have to control field position. We're going to have to be able to run the ball a little bit. We're going to have to make a little offense happen. We're going to have to be lights out on special teams, and the defense is going to have to play lights out.
There was a quote from a Wisconsin player after the game that said something along the lines of, all they need is one big offensive play and they're fine with that. And that's what they got.
It's Phil's big thing was always, firemen don't ask how the fire started. They just put out the fire, which basically means you don't control anything that happens on the field when you're not on the field. But when you're on the field, you control what happens. You make sure that you do your job, and your job is to get stops and get the ball back to the offense.
And I tweeted something yesterday or whatever that was like this idea or this questioning of how Iowa continues to win these football games. How do they do it? Has got to be played out by now because they continue to do it. It's not luck. They've done it year after year after year. This is how they do it. This is the formula. They have a identity.
Well, let's not confuse that with this is how we win with this is how we want to win, right?
Correct.
We would love to be able to move the ball for 350 to 400 yards a game.
Absolutely.
Controlling time of possession, long sustained drives that end in points. We would love to be able to do that and also play lights out defense.
Absolutely. And Kevin, thank you for seeing the nuance in that statement. And I think most people did this weekend. I'm not saying that
this is not how we want to win. This is just how we can win right
now. How when we do win, it happens. It doesn't mean we win every game because we certainly don't. We got bent over by Penn State. We slip up from time to time. And it does not necessarily mean that we're a great elite football team doing it. But when we do win games, this is the formula that it often happens in. And they're good at it. And it happens more than it should statistically because Iowa, the coaches, the players, they are comfortable in one score games, way more comfortable than any other team probably in the country. And it's something that.
And that's because we have way more experience than any other team in the country in doing it. We're always in close games.
And if you watch the opposite of basically Iowa, at least until this year, who knows how Rule's going to do it in Nebraska, they are horrible. They're the worst team in the country in one possession ball games. They lose almost every single one. It's because they simply don't know how to win those games. Iowa thrives in that moment. They want to get you in a one score ball game where you all of a sudden your butthole tightens up. And now you guys stop playing your game. You stop going to your game plan. How are you going to beat the Hawkeyes? Well, now we're in a 3-point ball game. We can't do what we want to do, what we said we were going to do all week. And now Iowa's got you right where they want you. Torrey Taylor's going to pin you back and average 50.6 a punt in a light, cool weathered Midwest October afternoon. That's really hard to kick a ball in. Give the guy the fucking reg.
Are you paying attention to any other punters across the country? Is anyone even in his league?
I'm not, but and to be fair, he hasn't done yet every week what he did yesterday, but
man, that first punt where he put it on the one and backed it up.
What's unbelievable about Torrey
Taylor? That's prime Tiger in a major dog with a sand wedge.
Yeah, here's the Ray guy watch list. He's obviously on it.
Yeah, well, the watch list is like 50 people.
I know it's like every single punter on every team in America. I'm not up to date, but he is averaging this year, I think, a solid like 3 or 4 yards above his career average, which is already great. What makes punters, and this is why I respect a couple of the guys who have done it, the Rutgers guy, Adam Korsak, I think he graduated, but a few others. There was a guy at Illinois who hit bombs. The Colorado State guy, he plays in a cold weather environment eventually. I respect those guys way more than the guy who plays at San Diego State or in the SEC. There you go right there. Average on the year, Torrey currently sits fourth in the country. Boise State guy, Vanderbilt guy, Alabama guy. And it's about a yard, 1.1 yard difference from Torrey to the top. So, yeah.
But you're saying like in those warm weather environments, that ball comes off the foot with a lot more pop.
Drastically different, dude. It's unfathomable. I can't even explain in words how much of a difference.
Heat rises when that ball is warm. It wants to stay up in the air just a little bit longer.
It's not just that. It's the compression on the leather. When that leather gets hard, it does not compress against the foot and get the same loft. It just doesn't. I mean, it's probably
like punting a bowling ball versus punting a actual.
For Torrey, it's probably a 7 to 10 yard difference when it gets down. When we get into late November, the best he could possibly hit a ball in 38 degrees and cold is 7 to 10 yards less than he could if it was 78 degrees and nice and warm. Like it's that big of a difference. And these San Diego State, these Alabama guy, Florida, some of the guys up at elevation, that matters too. You'll see some Utah,
Boise State guy.
You'll see those guys. The ball carries farther in elevate, like
just like playing mountain golf, baby.
Torrey is an absolute weapon. 10. And by the way, if you look at that list, everybody's got like 30-ish punts. Torrey's got 45. Like his sample size is like 50% bigger. You look, the first three guys all have 31 punts on the year. He has 45 punts.
Then the next guy has 31. That's actually just really weird. Four of the five top guys have exactly 31 punts.
It is really weird. In fact, so Torrey Taylor, big shout out. And then if we're staying on the special teams quick, it goes unnoticed, but Drew Stevens swinging his leg big time right now.
What did you guys think about that call on the fourth and a short one, kicking the long field goal?
You got sneaking Deacon, brother.
I've been asking to see sneak with him or sneak it.
Dude, it wasn't even fourth and a yard. It was fourth and inches. 12 inches.
Yeah.
He's 260. If anybody on the younger side of age right now is familiar with the Bradley Martin like meme where he like challenges every fighter ever to like a fight, he's like, "But I'm 260, bro. But I'm 260." That plays here with Deacon Hill. Fourth and one, but I'm 260. Get Hayden Large in there, who we don't use anymore, by the way. Like a fullback is just fullback's dead.
He was on the big touchdown run. What are you talking about?
Was he actually? It feels like we've used him less, but maybe I'm just not paying
attention. We are using less fullbacks this year, but that's probably going to change.
That was a B play.
That's going to change due to the lack of tight ends. We've been playing a lot of 13 personnel earlier in this year, but now we have like two tight ends left on our roster. So we're probably going to bring back a lot more fullback play.
Yeah.
And they took the B play to the crib. So
got to love that. That feels good for the former fullbacks. I don't care. Get one of the running back, get Jazz or get Caleb, push Deacon. Deacon, lean forward. Logan, lean forward, get 12 inches. It ain't hard. It's really hard to stop. Now there were two moments. We had a fourth earlier in the game, and we decided to go for it. And we ran a little cute end around play.
Oh, the fourth and three? Yeah.
I thought we should have kicked that one. And I thought we should have. I thought we should have done the opposite on both plays.
Yeah. What was the? Do you have any idea what the wind situation was like? I saw some comments that it was a little windy. Like that would have been like a 50-yard field goal.
I think it was an average to slightly above average wind game, but I don't know for sure.
I mean, I'm okay with the decision to go for it. Didn't love the play call. Obviously, you could say that hindsight because it didn't work out.
Yeah. If he cribs it, we're all like, wow. Right. Unbelievable play call. I actually didn't hate it. If we get a block, it's got a shot, right? But I think they said on the broadcast, like, we got a true freshman out there leading the block or something. It's like, well, fuck. What are we doing? You know? I don't know. All I know is Drew Stevens poked a couple through that were big time field goals. And that, along with the house call by LaShawn and the safety that was beautiful.
Beautiful.
I mean, that safety was unbelievable.
It really can't be overstated how big of a weapon Torrey Taylor is paired with our defense.
People don't get it.
Like, it can't be overstated how like, – that is one of the single biggest advantages in all of college football, and we don't even have the best defense that we've had recently. But any defense is going to look significantly better if an offense is trying to start their possession from the four.
I would love to know.
That came after a kickoff, and I believe there was a penalty on the return team.
Which we need to talk about because there was a few of those.
We got to clean that up.
We got to clean it up.
That is like, again, we have to win the hidden yardage game, which is penalties. And
special teams.
Special teams.
And by the look of it, we need to win it by a margin. It can't be a close one because
– Right. When you're averaging 230 yards a game, you need to
make sure
you're not losing those extra 20 yards on the holding on the punt return.
Yeah. And to be fair, we're still top five in lowest penalties in the country after this week. But we can't be holding dudes on punt return.
No. Especially on punt returns where – I mean, what is the fair catch rate on a punt return? It's 60,
70. 60? I was going to say 60%, maybe more.
Your whole, like, the risk rewards, like, do not hold.
Especially right? when you've got just Coop. Coop can make a miss.
Yeah, exactly.
If Coop's going to do something, he'll make a guy miss.
The one that felt the most inexcusable was the one where the gunner runs into the kid fair catching the ball at like the 3 yard line. That like one. Your only job really, once you run down the field, watch for the hand.
Yeah.
And on top of that, have a little bit of field awareness. He's catching the ball at the 3. Like you gotta don't make a mistake because he's already making one.
We got away with it. We got away with it, but we cannot have that, especially when you do it and then you do it again. We got two on the same thing, holding on a punt return. Like it's like
we had two punt return holdings, and then we had that one. That was another 15 right there. So that's it's 35 yards right there.
That's 3.5 first downs. I mean,
it's not going to do it.
So we got away with it. What we did do better this weekend was turnovers. We talked about it. Iowa was negative turnover margin, I think -1 going into the weekend. We win the turnover margin 2-0. And that puts us in the positive side. And guess what? When you win the turnover battle, you often win games. It's a very correlative stat. We talked about it all the time.
I remember like in when we were playing, those were KF's big two stats that like he's not a huge analytics guy, but it's like in Big Ten football, the team who runs for more yards often wins, and the team who wins the turnover battle, I forget the actual statistic, but significantly higher chance of winning.
I want to say when combined, when running for more yards and when winning the turnover battle, in Big Ten play, it was like 97.8% of the time that team wins.
Yeah, and then on the defensive side, Phil was big on no big plays. If you give up less than 2 big plays, we had it charted out that we won like 90% of the games.
Yeah.
Because how do you beat a team if you literally just have to beat them every single play for 4 yards for 60 minutes?
It's hard to do. It's hard to do. Penn State did it. They're a good football team. They're
a great football team.
To just march down consistently.
And so
the following teams that have played us in the subsequent weeks, Michigan State, Purdue, and now Wisconsin, that's what they've tried to do. No one's taken a lot of big shots. Like Wisconsin took one on us.
Pushed off of Coop. Fuck
them. There was a push off there. But that's what teams are trying to do to us because they know we don't give up a whole lot of big plays. But it's hard to do that. It's hard to execute 10 plays in a row to lead to a scoring drive.
You start to get suffocated a little bit. That time starts to drain and you're like, shit, we got to do something. And then they bite. The cobra of the Iowa defense bites, and it's like,
and then it's even harder to execute. Say you do move it down 50 yards down the field, it's even harder to execute on a shorter field. There's less room that needs to be covered, and that leads to field goals, and field goals don't lead to a ton of points. Right?
And when you got a guy named Sebastian Castro coming downhill smacking people in the mouth, that makes it harder too. And so here we are
on the ball, win the turnover margin, no big plays. That's how Iowa wins football games. Win special teams.
Absolutely. Taylor.
That's our model this year.
Torrey Taylor, turnovers.
I think that was my shirt. Turnovers and Torrey Taylor?
Yep.
Yeah, that didn't work that week.
Oh, true. Well, we didn't do it. It might have worked if we did it. Huh. And so here we are. 6-1, bowl eligible, leader of the West.
One more stat we got to talk about. Bringing this up. Since 2015 – the Hawks are like 68-2.
Oh my God. What
went
is
up by 8 points. That is not a lot of points.
No,
that is a tremendous stat.
And people wonder why Kirk doesn't give a fuck about getting up by 3 touchdowns. He's like, we only need 8.
Again, we would like to be up by 3 touchdowns.
Coach Parker would love 21,
but dude, it's actually an insane stat.
Coach Parker would light his cigarette and pour the Coke on the sideline if he has 21.
I was just going to say, Coach Parker's going home if he's got 21.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of what the two games are since 2015.
Oh yeah, we have to go back and find them.
But again, that is a one possession lead.
Yeah.
That is an insane amount of games to win when you're not up by that much points.
That's an absurd stat. That is up there with some
Like we saw Colorado blow a 29-point lead this weekend.
Unbelievable.
That means we should have came back.
We've given up 2 8-point leads in the last 8 years.
That's wild, dude. That means if we can score first, the game's
almost sealed.
The game's damn near over.
Okay, now KF just needs to start taking the opening kickoff. We just scored one time. It's a wrap. Which,
by the way, we've been receiving the ball first.
He's trying to get the offense sparked, man. He's trying anything he can do.
Thank you for remembering that stat and bringing that up, Kev. That's an amazing stat.
I didn't know about that stat, and that is that's iconic.
I need to find the two games.
Yeah, we'll go back through and find it. So that brings us here. Hour and 7 minute episode. We appreciate you guys joining us. Join the Patreon this week or this month. Every dollar, every cent of profit goes straight to the Children's Hospital. We're trying to cut a big fat check to the Children's Hospital at the end of this year. And your guys' support on the Patreon, which doubles your listening to the walk-ons each week, increases your savings on Washed Up Walk-Ons merchandise and other cool perks as well. Ad-free listening, a whole bunch of other stuff. Patreon.com/washedupwalkons. Iowa now leads the West, tied with Wisconsin in the loss column technically, but has the head-to-head. And when you look at the schedules, and again, you play this game on a week-by-week basis, but when you look at the schedules, Wisconsin has Ohio State left. And to be quite frank, after what we saw Iowa do to Wisconsin, again, like I said, the West, it's any team any weekend, which includes Iowa. What Kevin said last week or 2 weeks ago, we could lose any game on the rest of our schedule. We could win any game on the rest of our schedule.
Hey, and so far we're doing good on the winning part.
Doing good on that, but it could still be that way. Just because we go in and beat Wisconsin, which is like our arch rival, our hill to get over the past decade. White whale of the last 15 years. That doesn't mean anything. We are still going to be in a one possession ball game against Minnesota, a one possession ball game against Illinois, a one possession ball game against Rutgers. Expect it. Expect it. Your heart rate, your blood pressure, it's in for one. These last 6 weeks of the year, we're going to get a bye week, I think, somewhere in there.
Yeah, I think, and Minnesota's coming off a bye week this week, too.
Bye week, and they want the pig.
They ain't touched it in a decade.
And they ain't touching it with this fucking dog shit team they got. They ain't taking the pig from us.
No chance. We're gonna preview that game on Thursday. Thank you guys for listening to us. Smells like bacon. We'll see if it's on the menu. Thanks for listening. Hawks by a fucking million. We'll talk to you next time. Peace. Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you want more, you can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Washed Up Walk-Ons. And if you're interested in supporting the show, head over to patreon.com/washedupwalkons where you can find bonus podcasts, merchandise, and other cool perks. Best part, half of your subscription benefits the kids at UI Children's Hospital. We'll see you next time. Hawks by a million.